Test, test. Okay, here we go. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. This one's a bit long. Please follow along. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And great multitudes gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole multitude was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. And others fell upon the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and their ears are scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, lest they shall see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I shall heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is a man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit, brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He presented another parable to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who has sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprang up and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, An enemy has done this. And the slave said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? And he said, No, lest while you are gathering up the tares, you may root up the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather up the tares, bind them in bundles, and burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. He presented another parable to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. This is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. And he spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of meal until it was all leaven. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables. He did not speak to them without a parable, so that when what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Then he left the multitudes and went to the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is a devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks, and those who commit lawlessness will cast them into the furnace of fire, and in that place there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels shall come forth and take out of the wicked from among the righteous and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of household who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came about when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. And coming to his hometown, he began teaching them in their synagogue so that they became astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? They took offense at him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Amen. All right, so chapter 13 the third block of teaching. So if you remember, five blocks, so this is the third block. And now Matthew has introduced us to parables. And this is actually part of, do you remember way back in the beginning we talked about Matthew, one of his things is called a fulfillment formula. And he will always make note that Jesus Christ is fulfilling a messianic hope or a messianic promise. Well, this is part of that fulfillment formula in that the Messiah is going to speak in parables. And so this whole chapter is full of parables. And uniquely in 13, actually, a lot of these are only written in the book of Matthew. And so we'll talk about those a little bit more than the other ones. And so each of these parables describe a different aspect of the kingdom of God that he has for them. Now, you have to remember, and so we'll lay out this day. He's in Peter's home. And remember, he's exhausted. His mother, his brothers have come. He says, who are my brothers and my mothers and all that stuff. And then he goes off by himself to a lonely place. He goes and sits down by the sea. And he basically goes to hang out by himself. But again, the crowds all gather together. And there's so many people that meet him on the beach that he actually has to get into a boat, go out a little bit, and then speak to the crowd. I mean, that's how crowded this becomes. And then he starts teaching these parables. Now, parables, interesting enough, parables are really a way of giving even more understanding to those who already have understanding, but also takes away from those who stubbornly refuse to hear or to understand. There was this kind of like this erroneous understanding that Jesus taught in parables to confuse people. He didn't do that. In fact, they're actually not that confusing. And so, and in fact, you'll know that he specifically doesn't do that because a lot of these parables, he speaks in pairs. And so he basically tells them the same exact story in a different way, but it has the same exact meaning. He's not trying to confuse people at all. I mean, I'll get into that a little bit. And so for the first one is the sower and the seed. Now, you got to understand, in the ancient world, the way they would do farming is the farmer would first go out and he would scatter seed first. So I don't want you to get the idea that the farmer is just kind of like, you know, going out and just throwing things everywhere. Very meticulously, he would sow the seed and then he would go and turn over the soil on the seed. And so, in other words, the farmer actually doesn't know what kind of soil it is until he goes to work and starts turning it over, and which kind of goes through the background here. And so, like I said, verse 13, when it comes here, therefore I speak to them parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And when you look at this, this is the Isaiah passage, and this is how we know why Jesus is not trying to confuse people or confound people. The reality is, even though while Jesus is walking, they see miracles, they actually really don't see. Even though they're there and they're listening to his teaching, they're really not listening and they're really not understanding. The purpose of the parables is not for the Lord to confuse people, but really it's to fulfill what Isaiah said, that he was going to speak in parables. And the reality is, people were not going to understand. And it's not so much that the parables in itself are very difficult to understand. It's because people have a hardened heart. The reality is they refuse to understand what's going on. The people do not see or hear because their own stubborn disbelief. What he'll talk about is their dull, callous hearts. And so the flip side on verse 16, it's a blessing to the disciples who have hearts to see and also to hear. So a blessing goes out to these guys. Now, I don't really have to explain the sower because Jesus explains it himself, okay? He's going out and throwing, he's the sower, he's the farmer. And then, this is what happens. Some people, they hear the word, they rejoice, but it's taken away from them. Others, they have it, and the persecution comes, and they don't want anything to do with it. Another group, you know, they look out, and all of a sudden, the worries of the world and the riches, you know, those seem more tantalizing than the kingdom of God, and so they lose it. But there's good soil. There's those ones that hear and understand, and then that one, there'll be a tremendous harvest that comes out of it. So the next parable that he gives us is the tares among the wheat, among the wheat. And this parable is unique to Matthew. Only Matthew actually has this one. And this parable will really, really relate very well with the listeners of their day. Because even now, here in this place, scattered among the believers will be spies, will be informants, will be people that are doing the bidding of the synagogue officials, and they're keeping, you know, track of these things. And they're sowed in the midst of their community. Now, the farmer, we know, he explains later on, is God. He's sowing, basically he says, good seed. And then the enemy came at night and also sowed bad seed. Let me tell you what this bad seed is. It's this weed. In Greek, it's called zizanion. And it was basically a weedy rye. And it looks exactly, and this is a key, it looks exactly like the wheat. I mean, exactly, but it's poisonous. It actually has poisonous seeds in it. And you can only tell if it's the rye, the weedy rye, once it's fully grown. And so the servants go out and they're like, what in the world? You know, and they actually report back and said, hey, master, I thought you planted good soil or good seeds. And he says, I did. But the enemy came at night and also planted the evil seeds, the bad seeds. And then, the parable, well, okay, so should we start taking out the roots? And this is this is God's heart and his compassion. He doesn't want one piece of wheat. I mean, you know the wheat are us, right? Are the true believers. He doesn't want to spare one. He says, no, let's just wait. You know, for whatever purposes and intent, let's allow them to grow together. But at the end, there's going to be judgment. And for whatever reason, because, honestly, it would be better if we just uprooted all the false teaching in the church, right? It'd be great if we just, you know, got rid of all the false prophets and all these things. But the heart of the Father is he doesn't want one wheat to be mistakenly taken out. And so he reserves it. But this is the key. But judgment is coming. And this is actually really quite a powerful parable to us. You know, for some reason, Jesus allows the poison to exist side by side. And I thought about this. I was meditating on this last night. I thought about, well, you know, I mean, why is that? It'd be a lot easier. But, you know, at the same time, there's something about persecution. You know, there's even something about, like, erroneous teaching that actually makes us sharper. You know what I mean? It makes me study more. It makes me to dig deeper into the scriptures. Now, other people might be like, oh, you know, whatever, you know, take things blindly. But I think it does something. It makes us more mature. And so he does that, but he tells us that judgment is coming during this time. And it's really important to understand. And so, you know, we may think, oh, that's unfair or something like that. It's okay. Judgment is coming. You know, and the angels will separate, you know, the weeds and the wheat, the good and the bad. And we'll see a reckoning that happens during that time. And so this happens. And then he'll explain a little bit. But in between, before the explanation, he talks about the mustard seed. And the mustard seed is actually paired with the leaven. It's basically the same exact parable, but using a different example. See, Jesus is not trying to confuse people. He's trying to help them to really understand. And so the mustard seed during this time is actually the smallest seed known to man. Now we know there's other seeds that are smaller than the mustard seed, but in the first century, this was the smallest seed known to man. And so it would evoke some image to these people, but yet this little mustard seed grows into this huge plant. In that same way, just a tiny bit of leaven, you know, yeast, a tiny bit of yeast will actually leaven the whole lump of a huge dough. And so what Jesus is saying here, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's really simple. It's the kingdom of God, because we're seeing the beginning of it, starts out something really small. I mean, think about it. The sower and the seed, 25%. That's a pretty bad percentage, but only 25% will yield fruit, but yet it's going to be a huge harvest. And so in that same way, he's telling us this is what the kingdom of God is like. Though it starts out small, the promise is a remarkable harvest. And then again, Matthew points to another prophetic fulfillment, a prophetic promise that happens. And this time, he quotes the prophet Asaph from Psalm chapter 78, who prophesied about Jesus. And see, and then you know he's not trying to confuse people, because the Asaph actually generations before prophesies and says that this truth has been around since the foundation of the world. You know what I mean? Like, this is not something that's new. This truth has been around from the foundation of the world, but people never really sought after it. And so that's why Jesus speaks to them in parables, unveiling this truth that was known since the foundation of the world. He wasn't making it more obscure. He was making it more clear. He was unveiling this ancient truth to these people. And then he explains the tares. So I don't have to explain it, because Jesus already explained it here. You know, we know what it is. And then again, he goes to another set of parables. And it's the treasure and the pearl. And again, these are also unique to Matthew. Only Matthew speaks about these two things. And this is the conclusion. The kingdom of God is worth giving up everything for. It's the precious treasure that's found in the field. It's the precious pearl. The kingdom of God is worth giving everything up for. It's so valuable, it's so precious, that we must give up everything for us to possess it, even giving up our lives. And so these are like really powerful parables. The last parable that he gets to is the parable of the net, the fishing. And this also is unique to Matthew. Only Matthew has this parable in his gospel. Now, obviously, this would have really resonated with Peter, John, Andrew, you know, James, because they were fishermen. And obviously the fishermen represent the angels who will separate the evil from the good on the day of judgment. You know, at the end, Jesus asks his listeners if they understood this. Did you understand what I'm saying? If you notice, all these parables, basically exactly the same. Right, I mean, the message is very clear in how it goes, and then there's a really interesting thing that happens at the end, and then he tells them in verse 52, you know, after they said, "Have you understood?" And they say, "Yeah, we get it, Lord." And then he says, "Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings forth out of his treasure things new and things old." Again, also unique to Matthew. And so what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying is there is a scribe within his midst. And he's commending the scribe. And The only reason Matthew is writing that is, you know who he's talking about? He's talking about Matthew, right? So Matthew takes great joy in adding this verse, you know, in his book. And he's being commended, you know, in the fact that he is the scribe. And he really is the scribe. Remember, his shorthand as a tax collector will really help him throughout his writings. And a scribe who is part of his community is being celebrated during this time, which is actually Matthew himself. And then it concludes, it goes back, and if you think about it, he's going to bring all these parables back into one story. And then Jesus, he goes to the temple, or he goes to the synagogue. So he goes about 15 miles southeast back to his hometown of Nazareth. He's in the synagogue, he's in the same synagogue where he learned to read as a boy. So you can imagine, I mean, this is where this kid grew up, basically. And we know that this family was very well known in this town, because remember, they, you know, they have a fence at him and says, "Hey, isn't this Mary's son? And isn't James and Jude?" I mean, they know their whole family by name. You know what I mean? And so, it could have been a prominent family, most likely Jesus spent so much time in the synagogue that they knew everybody. You know what I mean? I mean, this guy was hanging out there all the time. And so now, Matthew spends a lot of time on the words of Jesus, but the other stuff, not too much time on. So this is another one of those cases. So he doesn't really tell us, you know, all the details of what happened. So we'll turn to Luke. And so Luke will actually tell us exactly what happens during this time. So Luke tells us that he reads the scroll from the book of Isaiah, and he starts teaching in this place. And then Jesus, you know, as rabbis, what they would do is they would read a passage of scripture, and then they would do a commentary on the scripture, what we would basically call a sermon, but they didn't call it sermons back then. And so they would do a commentary on whatever scripture they read. And so it was like a brief sermon. And so what Luke tells us is he does basically this brief service about how God historically reached out to Gentiles before the Jews. And so obviously you can see the Nazarenes are like, "Say what?" You know, "What did you just say?" And so they're not happy about his teaching at this place. And so next thing you know, if you understand the language, they try to bring him down to earth. Who is this guy? Don't we know his dad? You know, don't we know his brothers and his sister? You know, this guy's not, he's not a teacher. He's just, you know, some little country bumpkin, you know, from our hometown. There's no reason for him to say these kinds of things. And, you know, they're trying to disqualify him. That happens a lot. You know, when you don't want to, you know, hear what you want to hear in these things. And what do you say? "Well, what school did you go to? You know, who's, you know, what degrees do you have?" You know, so on and so forth. They're kind of doing the same thing to Jesus at this place. And, you know, no wonder they didn't like it. The Nazarenes were not happy about Jesus' teaching, what he had to say to them and during this time. And they're offended by him. And just like in the Old Testament, a prophet is not without honor, you know, even in his own hometown. And you think about this. So they ask him to leave. I mean, they ask him to leave his hometown, to leave the synagogue. And the tragic thing there is in verse 58, it says he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. You know, the idea is that he wanted to do a lot of miracles there, but it was just been a waste of time because they just wouldn't believe. Remember, the miracles primarily for the Lord, part mostly compassion, but the also other part was to authenticate the message of the gospel, the message what he was saying. So, I mean, what a bummer way to end the day. I mean, think about this. Like, this is his longest day, you know, biblically speaking. This is a long day. And then at the end, there's some encouragement because, you know, you could tell Jesus, like, "Hey, do you understand what I'm talking about?" The disciples say, "Yes." And Jesus, like, "Yes." He's excited. And then they go to his hometown, and, you know, he's probably expecting good things to happen in his hometown. Like, these guys know him. They ask him to leave the town. And really, a bad way to end the day. But guess what? It's just like the parables they had been teaching all day long. Even though he is rejected, he has reason to hope Why? Because small beginnings will end in a huge harvest. It's the key. He's, you know, even though it's a bad ending, there is still reason to hope. Yeah, okay. Small beginnings were promised a huge harvest. The other flip side here, even though the Nazarene soil was unproductive, there's still more fertile soil out there waiting to hear the good news of the kingdom. And they will spring up 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. And so there's reason to hope, even as the day ends in maybe not such a good way here in this place. Okay? So let's close our eyes. On this long day of teaching, so we ask ourselves, so do I have good soil? Do I have rocky soil? Every person has the potential to have all four kinds. The key is to have a heart to understand. Isaiah says, if you search for me with all of your heart, I'll be found by you, declares the Lord. You gotta understand, people are not destined to have rocky soil or have soil that's choked out or soil that's snatched in hard places. The key is how earnest we are in wanting to understand. Every single one of us has the potential for good soil. We know the disciples have good soil. You know why? You know what they said? Lord, will you explain us the parable? That was it. There was not a set of conditions of their heart. They just simply asked, Lord, can you explain to us the parable? And notice Jesus didn't rebuke them, or he just explained what it was. That's what he's looking for. For people to come back to Jesus and say, Lord, what did you say? God, what did you mean by this? Actually, very simple. But it's a heart that wants to understand. A heart that wants to go back to Jesus and say, Lord, what did you mean by this? Lord, this is happening in my life. God, what is going on? That's good soil. And as we sing this morning, let's ask God for good soil.
Worship him now.
let's pray this morning. Even this morning, let's prepare the Lord good soil. Soft soil. Moldable. Attentive. Let's just begin to plow through our hearts right now. And just say, God, make me good soil. Help me to be receptive to your words. Receptive meaning not just hear, but also obey. Let's pray this morning. Go to our community prayer. So let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies. Let's carry them to the presence of Jesus. Pray for our community that are also battling through illness, but also needs to be saved. And let's pray for the word of healing and the word of salvation. Pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses. And let's pray for just God's healing touch. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and His provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's pray for Pastor Hyunsu and his family, Pastor Ricky. You know, let's praise God for Chloe gave birth to a baby boy last week. His name is Noah. And so pray that they would recover well. Let's lift up our community, our family. There's there's some advice that we got that within the month there might be some crackdowns at our church, and so let's just continue to pray for protection during that time. I'm talking about in Beijing particularly. Let's also lift up the Chung family, Matt and Nate's parents, and the churches, and especially in the midst of persecution, let's pray that the gospel will still be preached and the church will be strengthened, not weakened as a result. Let's lift up. Pray for our board, and let's ask the Lord to move powerfully upon us, that He'd fill us with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let's pray for our families, and just ask God to really knit us together in unity. Let's just pray. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for our building, our resources. Pray for our benefactor, and ask God to continue to bless and multiply the Vision Fund. Let's pray. Pray for our house churches tonight, Blue Pool, Lion Rock, New Conduit, TST, and Ventress. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to be leading our leaders, our hosts, and just, really the power of God would really flow tonight. Go to our member focus. Let's pray for Amy. Let's pray for a completely humble and free heart before the Lord, faith to grow in her husband's heart, and softening of hearts of unsaved family members. So let's lift up Amy and her family. Pray for Marion. Let's pray to witness God's power through her prayers, salvation for her grandma and many of their relatives, and to rest early and rise early to have quiet time. Let's pray for Marion. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. God, thank you for your word. Lord, we want to have good soil, God. Lord, we want to just go to you, God, when we have questions and when we don't have understanding, God, because, Lord, you're so faithful. You want us to understand. God, you're not trying to be obscure and hidden and mysterious, Lord. You wanted to make plain, but you'll only do those who will seek your face. And so would you help us, God? Lord, give us that good soil, Lord. Now watch over us today. God, strengthen us. Lord, help us to give you glory in all that we do and say. We thank you. We love you, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. If you've not yet submitted a prayer request, please do. All right? So we're running out of them right now.